Welcome to episode 13 of the VHA Weekly Update. I'm Stuart McCullough, I'm the CEO of VHAA. Starting with this week's industrial roundup, and in particular with community health, members are still welcome to provide their comments with regards to the VAPA Allied Health Professionals Logs of Claim, which we have provided a consolidated document which sets out the logs of claim received by members so far. Members are encouraged to leave their comments either on the VHAA community app or to send those through to VHAA. We'll be collating those comments and it will be useful to us as we develop a draft log of claims from the employers to discuss at our next HR-IR industrial meeting in April. Moving to acute facilities, we have the HR-IR managers meeting for Metropolitan members coming up on the 5th of April. After that, we also have the overarching reference group meeting, which will be conducted with some people meeting in the room and some regional members participating through GoToMeeting. If you have interest in participating in those processes, don't hesitate to contact VHAA. On the 6th of April, we have the next of our regional forums, in fact, the last of our regional forums for this round, in Sale. We'll be conducting those again in September of this year. On the 7th of April, we have a bargaining meeting with the AMA as we continue to work our way through the log of claims. And coming up, we also have our appearance at the Safe Patient Care Act Task Force review coming up on the 18th of April. Members are encouraged to provide any feedback they have with regards to the other submissions, in particular those submissions that have been made by the ANMF. That's it for this week's Industrial Update. Welcome to the VHA Weekly Update, where we pick on a particular topic and go in depth. Joining me today is Senior Industrial Relations Consultant Daniel Pullen. Welcome, Daniel.
Thank you, Stuart.
Now, Daniel, you've been here before. You know how it works. Would you be kind enough to reveal this week's subject by lifting up and revealing the contents underneath the box?
Of course.
You'll need to reveal a little bit further. So for those people who are listening, would you be kind enough to hold up the object so that people can see it and describe for those people who are listening on podcast what it is that you can see?
It's the album Straight Outta Compton by NWA.
Which means that this week's subject is what?
Well, it's not about rap.
Almost. In 1988, NWA released their debut album. The members of NWA included Ice Cube, DJ Yella, MC Ren, Eazy-E, but perhaps most memorably of all, my favourite doctor, Dr. Dre. So this week's subject is doctors. So we're yet to receive a log of claims from NWA, but we have received a log of claims from the AMA, is that correct?
That's correct.
And I guess it would be fair to describe a log of claims where people outline what it is they're seeking for an enterprise agreement, or to put it in Dr. Dre terms, they're expressing with their full capabilities, but they're not living in correctional facilities. Is that fair enough to say?
That's fair enough to say. We would say that a log of claims is a good opportunity to express yourself.
Indeed. And on that delightful segue, could you take us through some of the themes that arise from the AMA's log of claims for doctors in training and for specialists?
Of course. The log of claims from the AMA details is separated into four parts. It details what they call compensation for curtailment of salary benefits and interstate parity.
Now, that's a very curious turn of phrase, curtailment of benefits.
It is. In short, it appears that the AMA want to be their members to be compensated for their financial loss as a result of changes to the fringe benefit tax.
So in terms of FBT, of course, is a much shorter way of saying curtailment of entitlements as such.
It is.
So this is an interesting one where it's the claim that dare not speak its name.
Correct.
And in terms of the interstate parity, which state has been identified?
The AMA identified states along the eastern seaboard, which could be anywhere from Queensland down through to New South Wales. It doesn't limit it, but they didn't want to mention Tasmania.
No Tasmania, no South Australia. So the process of elimination, I guess, suggests that we have a few states to look at potentially, but we're yet to receive that kind of detail.
Correct.
In terms of the other themes that stretch across this particular log of claims?
Safe work and ensuring quality. They want to align the EBA with improvements in technology and subsequent changes to clinical decision making, namely with respect to online telephone consultation and also with the improvement of safe hours of work clause.
One of the things that really struck me with regards to the AMA log is the fact that it refers to innovation in a way that has been a rarity in this round of enterprise bargaining. So it's great that a major union is turning its mind to the impact of innovation in terms of its members and the way in which their members work.
And it is great with a number of our major metropolitan health services in particular moving to electronic medical records throughout the life of the agreement.
Not just the metros, I think some of our regional hospitals, I think the new Bendigo Hospital relies on digitised medical records as well. But it seems that innovation is certainly a key thing, and it's good to see that the enterprise agreements are engaging with it.
It is welcoming.
And in terms of the safe work component, that is also a bit of a theme with regards to this log of claims, just in terms of the nature of the claim there.
So the AMA are looking for the improvement of safe hours of work. Interestingly, there seems to be tension between what happens at the front line with what doctors may prefer to work or what doctors actually work and the entitlements that are being sought in the agreement. An example of which is the AMA is seeking, specific to their doctors in training, a limitation to an ordinary day to be no greater than 16 hours.
It sounds strange when you put it that way, which suggests that the current way it works is very different to our other agreements, and it'll be an interesting conversation to have. Mm. One of the other items that's a feature of their log of claims is respecting vocational contribution. That does sound like a reference to Mike's skills, but I understand that that's not the case.
Look, it's not the case. It talks mainly around credentialing and scope of practice. The AMA are concerned that, especially with their VMO members that work at a number of health services, they need to go through the process of credentialing and scope of practice at each health service. The AMA is seeking to have that aligned where if a doctor can identify or produce evidence that suggests that they have credentialing or scope of practice from a list of hospitals, that they would be seen as preferable and wouldn't have to go through a credentialing or scope of practice process at a new health service within a set time frame.
It's interesting, that raises some potentially challenging quality issues.
It does. The challenge would be where do you draw the line as to what health services are, maybe your health services are preferred for the provision of scope of practice and credentialing and which health services are not?
Well, in effect, it's very difficult to distinguish. Do you distinguish it on particular skills? And then are you effectively being asked to outsource quality control?
Correct.
And in terms of some of the other agreement entitlements, some of the things that feature in the AMA log are things that we have dealt with in other agreements and are familiar to members already.
Correct. That would be the AMA is seeking the inclusion of a family and domestic violence provision within the enterprise agreement. Our membership would be aware that we already have an extensive family violence and domestic violence clause that's been inserted into our new enterprise agreements. And the VHIA has actually put that clause to the AMA for comment.
Yes, we've already provided. That was part of our log of claims also, and we've provided that clause to AMA for comment. And there are also some other provisions that they're seeking in terms of general entitlements?
Interestingly, the AMA are looking to reduce the time frame that it takes for a doctor to be entitled to take long service leave. It appears from their log of claim that they're seeking to align it with the Long Service Leave Act, which is access at 7 years as opposed to 10 under the current agreement.
There are also some interesting components where they're seeking more flexible use, leaving aside the 7 years part. But more flexible use of long service leave, such as in shorter periods of time or single days and the like, which sounds a lot like the transition to retirement stuff that we have in some other agreements.
It does sound a lot like that. In addition, some of our members may recall recent concerns raised by the AMA around long service leave accruals for VMOs that work at two health services and which health service bears the accrual impost of that long service leave. The AMA have noted in their log of claim that they're seeking adjustments to how VMOs are treated with respect to long service leave, but there hasn't been an expansion provided by the AMA in that respect as yet.
I guess time will tell. I mean, we have weekly meetings scheduled with the AMA, and I think that part of that process will be for us to seek the detail and seek the draft clauses that they're proposing for review.
Yes.
And in terms of a couple of other items, there are claims with regards to annual leave.
Correct. They're seeking 6 weeks annual leave.
On the basis that?
They want alignment with the nurses' agreement.
And they're seeking subsidised parking?
Subsidised parking.
So they're seeking non-alignment with the nurses in that respect?
Correct.
And in terms of some of the claims that are specific to the medical specialists group?
The medical specialists are distinct from the doctors in training within the claim that the medical specialists section is seeking a salary structure that reflects the actual rates paid to those medical specialists as opposed to the paper rates prescribed in the agreement.
So that's quite a unique claim. The only other group that I can think of that have made that claim are the maintenance workers.
Correct.
And not that we can combine those two agreements into one.
No, there has been some discussion amongst some senior doctors that we've been engaging with that there isn't much difference between a carpenter and an orthopaedic surgeon, but I'm not sure as to the realistic approach of that.
I think we'll describe that as a self-deprecating comment.
Yes.
And in terms of some of the other things that are sought to be addressed, some of that really fits within the scope of industrial orthodoxy. So, you know, in terms of compensation for unorthodox hours and particular penalty rates and the like.
They're seeking an introduction of what they're calling an unsociable hours penalty allowance. There isn't any further information provided in the log of claim as to what span of hours that would include. Mm. But they have sought the expansion or the increase of the existing 12-hour shift penalty to 50%. And then for that to increase to 100% shift penalty beyond midnight.
And there are some claims with regard for specialists in terms of CME?
That's correct. The CME allowance they're seeking to have their CME claimed for professional society registration and also necessary childcare arrangements.
So really talking about associated costs?
It appears so.
And part of that claim is also a proposal to eliminate maximum term contracts?
That's correct.
Just for those people who may not be familiar with that terminology, that is a contract that has a set term in it but that can be terminated within notice by either party within that period. So the term is actually the longest the contract will run, unlike a fixed term contract where you get the benefit of the certainty of the term. And in terms of fee-for-service, what have they claimed there for specialists?
They're seeking the indexation of fee-for-service.
So moving to doctors and training, what are some of the items of claim that AMA are putting forward with respect to doctors and training?
Some of the claims include location and travel allowance to be paid on all rotations outside of their parent hospital.
And that's also with that claim for a cap on the number of, maximum for the number of hours of work in a day.
That's correct, the 16 hours that we referred to earlier.
And just in terms of averaging of ordinary hours, what's being proposed there?
The AMA are proposing that it can only be averaged over the pay fortnight as opposed to a longer period as prescribed in the current agreement.
And AMA have also made some claims, I understand, for doctors in training with respect to CME.
That's correct. The AMA is seeking an increase in CME allowance to meet the costs of training and association subscriptions.
Contracts for doctors in training are an interesting thing. There's a claim with respect to the length of the term of the contract.
The AMA is seeking a limitation to two-year contracts as opposed to the current practice of one-year contracts. They've put in their claim that a doctor can request a shorter period of contract, shorter than 2 years.
And there are some associated claims with regards to personal leave where somebody is moving from one contract to another, particularly in the context of having had children.
Correct. The AMA is seeking to have doctors in training to have their sick leave preserved and grandfathered between contracts and also to be preserved while that doctor is giving birth to a child and on parental leave.
So this raises a really interesting issue for this log of claims and for this workforce. So the doctors in training workforce has substantially changed over the last few years.
That's correct. Interestingly, one of the other claims that's noted in the AMA log is the change from a doctor being paid only where they work in excess of full-time hours to now a doctor in training who is on a part-time contract being paid overtime where they worked beyond their contracted part-time hours.
Some of the claims also go to the issue of the fact that the workforce in terms of doctors in training has evolved over a period of time.
That's correct. Interestingly, there has been a change that's been put forward by the AMA within their log of claim to provide overtime payments for doctors that are doctors in training that are on part-time contracts, and to pay overtime where they work in excess of their contracted hours, as opposed to previous practice where they would receive overtime where they work in excess of the ordinary hours for that week.
Well, I know that that claim has been made in some other areas and there are problems associated with it, but the change in the workforce goes to the change in the gender composition. Do I recall correctly that it's actually a greater than 50% female workforce now?
That's correct. The feedback has been that the interns especially are predominantly female.
So I think one of the really interesting questions for this agreement, and I think it'll be quite challenging for everyone, is to consider to what extent the terms and conditions for doctors and training are unsympathetic to the fact of the change in the balance of the workforce. How do we ensure that the agreement operates in a way so as to not discriminate against people who have parental responsibilities who are on parental leave, which is going to require, I think, a bit of a new way of thinking?
I agree. It's great timing as well for that to be dealt with.
Now, just in terms of, just to remind people with regards to wage increases and government policy.
So the government policy currently is the increases of 2.5% per annum for an agreement of 4 years in length, with the opportunity for it to be increased by 0.5% to a total of 3% per annum upon the agreement of a service delivery partnership plan or an arrangement of a similar nature.
It's interesting, given that the AMA has identified innovation and the extent to which that can support a service delivery partnership plan. Certainly there seem to be a range of opportunities to ensure that is quite useful and meaningful.
I agree. Interestingly, above what the AMA have put forward, it's been suggested in our log to the AMA that there could be some adoption of best practice with respect to absenteeism, improving discharge arrangements and also improving patient satisfaction as well.
And just in terms of the things that we've done to date in responding to that claim, because we've put in a log which is quite specific and quite targeted and really is a distillation of the things that we have done with previous agreements over the past 12 months. What have we done and what have we provided to the AMA to date?
So we've met with the AMA and representatives of the Department of Health and Human Services on a number of occasions to date. Within those meetings, we provided the AMA a copy of some draft clauses that we've utilised from previous modern agreements and utilised those to, I guess, give effect to the clauses that we're seeking to be included in the AMA clause around family violence leave, transition to retirement, organisational change.
So I think one of the issues, we've prepared a document that has all the claims in it, and I think one of the challenges will be just to make sure that the parties keep progressing through and exchanging clauses that represent their claims in a quick and efficient manner. Just in terms of what people can expect in terms of the other activities that are occurring at the moment.
So the VHA, like we have in recent EBA bargaining rounds, have developed a reference group with representation from Metropolitan, Rural and Regional Health Services. We've sought a specialist approach insofar as that we've sought the assistance of senior medical representation with a lesser approach to obtaining assistance from HR representatives. And this is to assist in the very specialised nature of the AMA claim and the very specialised nature of the work that's being performed.
I think it's worth emphasising how important those reference groups are, whether it's for nurses or health and allied or allied health professionals or, in this case, doctors. People participating in those groups makes an extraordinary difference for us. It gives us a much better platform on which to put forward our views.
Agreed.
And just in terms of it's worth reminding people how they can get the most up-to-date information. Obviously, we'll be providing updates through video casts such as this. But if people want to get updates as to the meetings effectively as they happen, how can they do that?
So we'd encourage our members to download the VHA community app and subscribe to the Doctors in Training and the Medical Specialist groups. And on that page, VHA will be providing updates as we can provide them following meetings with the AMA and as information comes through.
So we have meetings scheduled on a weekly basis. It means that we can provide people with an update each week as we progress through that process.
Correct.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Daniel, for joining me. And thank you, Dr. Dre.
Thank you, Stuart.